Digital Mister. Hey, what I say, sir? Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
Cameron coming to you live. I am still in discovery. And we say, Eternal Father, bless our land. Guard us with thy mighty hand. Keep us free from evil powers. Be our light through countless hours. To our leaders, great defender, grant you wisdom from above. Justice should be also ever. Jamaica land, we love. This is the Garden Parish of St. Anne. And we see where our country has been plunged into a state of mourning. We have lost two very important men. One is former Prime Minister Edward Seaga, the Honorable Edward George Philip Seaga. And the other one is noted educator and political commentator, Martin Henry. He has died also. They both died on the same day. It is reported that Mr. Henry collapsed on Tuesday evening after leaving the TVJ studios, where he was commenting on the passing of Mr. Edward Seaga. When Mr. Seaga passed, Mr. Henry went into the studio of TVJ to comment. in his capacity as a political commentator. They say after he finished that segment, he collapsed. He was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. Martin Henry is 61. He was also a long-serving columnist for the Guinea newspaper. Tributes to Mr. Henry have been pouring in on social media, including from Prime Minister Andrew Holness. Holness sent condolences to the family, friends, and colleagues of Martin Henry, who he said has made a significant contribution to our education system, as well as being an advocate, being a strong advocate of transparency and good governance. So we have really lost a great man, political commentator Martin Henry. I have here with me the column that he wrote in the Gleaner, May 26. So he wrote this column May 26 and he died May 28. And this is on page G2 of the Sunday Gleaner, dated May 26, 2019. And this is a part of what Mr. Henry wrote. The article is entitled Brexit. The UK will be okay. Worry about the EU. So you see where Theresa May has retired because of the failure of the Brexit. But now Mr. Henry saying the UK will be okay. Okay, so here's a part of the article. Today, the remaining citizens of the European Union cast their ballots at the end of a four-day marathon election for members of the European Parliament. The parliamentary election began last Thursday, May 23. Ironically, with Brexit, Britain leading the way. The exit of Britain from the EU, which was decided by a referendum on June 2016, has been postponed from its original date of March 29 for a second time to October 31. So the country remains very much in the union and has to vote for its share of MP 73 of 751. Even more ironically, the poll showed the brand new Brexit Party, which was founded only in April and headed by Nigel Farage, who had quit as leader of the UK Independent Party, miles ahead of his challengers. This means that under the proportional representation rule of EU parliamentary election, the party dedicated to the exit of the UK from the EU will end up heading the largest block of the 73 UK seat. Extricating from the European Union has been proven to be complex and messy undertaking. Prime Minister Theresa May has not been able to get any of her several withdrawal plans voted by the parliamentary, and rejection of comes from parliament, from members of her own Conservative Party, and from within the cabinet itself. There has been a series of resignations from the cabinet, a major line of difficulties managing trade across the border between Northern Ireland and part of the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland, a separate country, which will be the only land border between the EU and an exited UK. So we see coming out of this Brexit thing, Theresa May wept openly on TV because the plan that she had for UK had failed, and so now there is a rush on for an election for them to elect a new prime minister. So these are some of the things that Mr. Martin Henry has written about, and you know, Jamaica is really saddened by his passing. Take a break, station, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the man himself, the Honorable, Most Honorable, former Prime Minister, Edward George Philip Siaga. Take a break and we come back. This is the Clarendon Connection with Pastor Rowan Cameron coming to you live from Discovery Bay in Center. The God.
Freedom!
He was born May 28, 1930. And he died May 28, 2019. That makes him 89 years old. The Most Honorable Edward Philip George Seaga, ONPC, LLD, former Prime Minister. And he was Prime Minister from 1980 to 1989. Leader of the opposition from 1989 to 2006. He was born May 28, 1932, the late Philip George Seaga and Erna Seaga. He was educated at Woolmer's Boys School in Jamaica and graduated from Harvard University in 1952 with a bachelor's degree in social science. On August 22, 1965, Mr. Seaga married Elizabeth Missy Constantine, Miss Jamaica, 1965. They have two sons, Christopher and Andrew, and a daughter, Annabella. This marriage dissolved in 1995. The following year, on June 14, he married Carla Vengees. They have a daughter. Mr. Seaga played tennis, hunts and collects Jamaican folk music, a keen gardener, and an amateur landscaper. Mr. Seaga has translated his love for plants and flowers into the beautiful Enchanted Garden Resort, which has become a unique attraction in Jamaica. And this Enchanted Garden is in Ocho Rios. He's also a member of the Kingston Cricket Club, various hunting clubs, and the Jamaica Skeet Club. Mr. Seaga's political career began in 1959 when Sir Alexander Bustamante, the founder of the Jamaica Labour Party, the JLP, nominated him to serve in the upper house of the Jamaica Legislature in a legislative council later known as the Senate. His appointment at age 29 made him the youngest member ever appointed to the Legislative Council, which established the framework for national independence in August 1962. In April 1962, Mr. Seaga was elected Member of Parliament for Western Kingston, and he held that seat for 40 consecutive years. He is the only person who has been re-elected as a Member of Parliament for the constituency for more than one term, and is the longest serving MP in the history of Jamaica. Immediately after winning his seat in 1962, Mr. Seaga was appointed to the cabinet as Minister of Development and Welfare. Following the 1967 general election, he was made Minister of Finance and Planning in the 1974, he became leader of the JLP and the parliamentary opposition in the general election of October 30, 1980, when the Jamaica Labour Party won a landslide victory over the People's National Party. The mandate of Mr. Seaga and the JLP was renewed in the uncontested 1983 general election. He remained Prime Minister until February 1989. Mr. Seaga was also Minister of Finance and Planning, and his portfolio included responsibility for information and culture. Several economic and social programs, which have been a significant impact on Jamaica's growth and development, were conceived and initiated by Mr. Seaga. Mr. Seaga has established, encouraged, promoted, or introduced Several institutions has contributed to the modernization and development of the financial sector. These include the Jamaica Stock Exchange, 1969. Jamaica Unit Trust, 1970. Jamaica Mortgage Bank, 1973. National Development Bank, 1981. The Agricultural Credit Bank, 1981. The Exim Bank, 1986, and the Student Loan Bureau. He promoted the modernization of commercial agriculture by introducing high technology and stimulating agricultural enterprise in new crops. He put unused and underutilized publicly owned land to work. The highly successful Jamaica National Investment Program Limited, now JAMPRO, was created by him in 1981 as a one-stop investment organization to promote local and overseas investment in Jamaica. Under his administration in the 1980s, the income and corporate tax system was comprehensively reformed and modernized to make it more equitable and efficient. Mr. Siaga also introduced modern computerized technology into the administration and organization of revenue collection, in which each taxpayer would be assigned a taxpayer registration number, or TRN. He overhauled the indirect tax system by combining a number of taxes into a single general consumption tax, known as the GCT. As Minister of Finance, Mr. Siaga represents Jamaica as Governor of the International Monetary Fund, the Inter-American Development Bank, and the Caribbean Development Bank, Urban and Rural Development, and the Environment. In the 1960s, Mr. Siaga transformed the country, then worse from back a wall, into a modern, low-income, residential community renamed Tivoli Gardens. Mr. Siaga also established the Urban Development Corporation, the UDC, in 1968. Through the UDC, the waterfront of Kingston, Ocho Rios, and Montego Bay were developed into major resort residential port and office complexes. Among other accomplishments, the UDC spearheaded the development of Negril as a resort area. Notably, two-thirds of the choice land for the development was acquired by the UDC at Mr. Siaga's initiative to establish a land bank. This one This exceptional land bank. This form was the basis for planned development such as Elsha, Bloody Bay, Negril, Civil, and Archindown, Westmoreland. In 1985, Mr. Siaga established the Metropolitan Parks and Market, the MPM, as a subsidiary of the UDC to be responsible for public cleansing, beautification, and the maintenance of the parks and market in the city of Kingston and other specified urban areas. Mr. Siaga's most satisfying area of creative endeavors has been the creation of several outstanding social enterprises, especially for young people. Among them, the Human Empowerment and Resource Training Program, which is known as HEART, which began in 1983 and provides job-related training for school leavers and dropouts on a wide scale throughout Jamaica. We're going to be looking at Mr. Siaga's cultural development. He created and established a Jamaican festival in which institutions compete annually in the literary performing, plastic and graphic arts, as well as culinary skills leading up to the independence celebration. This festival has become the showcase of Jamaica talent and the cradle of our traditional cultural expression. In the 1960s, While he was Minister of Development and Welfare, Mr. Sierra gave popular music, ska, his first exposure to the international scene by promoting overseas tours of Jamaican artists. This laid the foundation for the international emergence of reggae, now popular worldwide. Mr. Sierra promoted the concept of an international cultural bank, leading to the establishment of the International Fund for the Promotion of Culture, IFPC, by UNESCO in the 1970s. In the 1980s, he played a leading role in the establishment of the Caribbean Basin Initiative, known as the CBI, conceived as a Marshall Plan for the Caribbean, and promoted the concept of human facility, later adopted by the United Nations Development Program, the UNDP, as the short-term advisory service, or stats, to provide local or short-time expertise for the international private sector and development country. We're going to be looking at some of the awards received by the former Prime Minister, who passed away yesterday. In 1981, Queen Elizabeth II appointed Mr. Sierra as member of Her Majesty Privy Council. Mr. Sierra also been honored by several countries. The Republic of Venezuela, Grand Collar de Libertador, 1981. The Republic of Venezuela, Gold Mercury International Award, 1981. Republic of Korea, Grand Gwangwa Medal of Diplomatic Service Merit, 1981. The Federal Republic of Germany, Grand Cross of the Order of Merit, 1982. Mexico, Order of the Aztec Eagle, 1987. He is the recipient of several prestigious international awards. Gina Award, Man of the Year, 1980 and 81. Avenue of the Americas Association, New York, Gold Key Award, 1981. Pan American Development Foundation International Inter-American Man of the Year Development Award, 1983. Dr. Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award, United Nations Environment Program, the Environmental Leadership Award, 1987. He received honorary degrees from the University of Miami, 1981, the Tampa University, 1982, University of South Carolina, 1983, Boston University, 1983, and the Oxford University, 1987. Now these are LLD honorary degrees award. Let us look at some of the documents that Mr. Sierra wrote. Bittersweet day for Sierra. Loses Previous Council appeal by Howard Camp, the Cleaner Award, 2007. 2005, Edward Sierra retires, the Cleaner, August 27th, PHA8. Edward Sierra launches autobiography by Mel Cook, the Sunday Cleaner, March 7, 2010, Section F. Ed Sierra, born Jamaican, by Ian Bowen, the Jamaican Cleaner, July 29, 2012. Celebrating Sierra's Golden Jubilee by Balfour Henry, the Daily Observer, October 22, 2012, page 31. So these are some of the articles that was written about Mr. Sierra. The Daily Sun Ailing Sierra proved popular. The Daily Observer, October 30th, 2012, on page 7. Edward Sierra, Life and Leadership by Professor Barry Chevans, Pure Class, March 14 to 20th, 2010, page 10. Sierra Notes Rich Legacy by Jordan De La Haye. And this is in the Sunday Clean of April 14, 2013, Section D. What they said about Sierra, the Clean of October 15, 2012, page C12. Living the Jamaican Experience, the Sunday Clean of February 21, 2010, Section F1. Edward Sierra by Yannick Sterling, Flair Magazine, September 3, 2007. Sierra in Ashita, Leglina, January 5, 2009. Sierra for a lecture series in South Florida, Leglina, April 26, 2007, page A4. The Most Honorable Edward Sierra installed as IOJ Fellow by Nicola Cunningham, class. May 7th to 13th, 2006. That's on page 2. Sierra takes a look at Jamaican cultural identity in first lecture by Petrie Williams, The Daily Observer, May 16, 2005. JLP honors Edward Sierra, pure class, February 10 to 18, 2006. A Life on a Cultural Mission, Part 1. And this was in the Sunday Clean of May 7, 2006, page 810. Born to be Different. And that appeared in the Sunday Observer, January 16, 2005. Edward Sierra on Retirement, Regrets and Arrivals, Sunday Clean at July 4th. 2004, and it's found in page 8. On the Way Home, a tribute to Eddie by Rex Nettleford, the Sunday Clean at January 23, 2005, page G11. A Life and a Cultural Mission, Part 2, and that appeared in the Sunday Clean at May 14, 2006, and page 810. Edward Sierra, 1 year after political retirement, Sunday Cleaner, January 15, 2006. A Colorful Record by Ian Bowen, and this appeared in the Sunday Cleaner, January 23, 2005. Edward Sierra, from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, retrieved on February 4, 2005. Sierra now an Institute of Jamaica Fellow, and that's disappeared in the Daily Cleaner on May 2, 2006, on page 3. Edited Teacher by Davian Kelly, and disappeared in the Sunday Cleaner, May 15, 2005. UW Life Fraternity Welcome Sierra, and disappeared in the Cleaner, January 4, 2005, page 8, 3. PM Ale Sierra Vale Royal Dinner, the Daily Observer, March 12, 2005, page 5. Sierra Honest Undiluted Account of Life by Vinette Price, pure class, October 29 to November 4, 2006. Memorable Moments, Edward Sierra, The Sunday Observer, January 30, 2005, page 1 to 3. Sierra Urges National Fight Against Narco Terrorism, the Cleaner 17, 2002. The Most Honorable Edward Philip George Sierra O.N., Fellow Institute of Jamaica. Edward Sierra, Western Kingston, the Cleaner, October 8, 2002. UTEC welcomes Pro-Chancellor Sierra, the Herald, pure class, November 28, 2008. Edward Sierra, My Life and Leadership, Volume 2, Hard Road to Travel, 1980 to 2008. The Right Honorable Edward Sierra, PCMP BA. The Right Honorable Edward Sierra, PCMP BA. Edward Sierra appointed second UTEC Chancellor, the Sunday Cleaner, December 12, 2010, page E12. Sierra Trophy for Wilmers, Daily Cleaner, June 22, Sierra gets gold medal, gold Mercury Award. Jamaica Daily News, December 2, 1981. Awarded American Friendship Medal, the Daily Cleaner, February 18, 1983. Sierra victory speech at JLP headquarters. Photo by Alvin Jones, Daily News, October 31, 1980. Sierra elected to the House of Representatives on April 10, 1962, and disappeared in the Daily Cleaner April 12, 1987. Sierra quits as JLP head January 26, 1979. Sierra Dream of Colonial Jamaica by Jennifer French. This is December 15, 1979. Sierra Crisis by Colin Roberts, January 28, 1979. And inside of view of the difference between them, Sunday, December 7, 1980. Sierra back from US, Jamaica Daily News, October 11, 1982. Sierra moved January 27, 1979. There are so many awards and columns that has portrayed some of the works that Mr. Sierra did. And today we are remembering this great man. The Honorable Edward Philip George Sierra. There's also an article known as The Unknown Side of Edward Sierra by Deborah Anthony. And it appeared in the class May 28, 1989. In 1987, Mr. Sierra got Man of the Caribbean Award. And in 1984, he received the first Dr. Martin King Jr. Award. 1992, in the Sunday Cleaner, it says, Jamaica salute a true and proven leader. So this is the current and connection as we honor two great men, Martin Henry, and also Edward, the Honorable Edward George Philip Sierra. He died yesterday. He was 89 years old. And they say one of his greatest achievements, the Introduction of the Heart program to Jamaica. And thousands of Jamaicans are reaping the benefit. And the current and connection today, we salute this great man. He was credited for the establishment of art. It was founded in 1982. They said that the Heart Trust is paying tribute to Sierra, who founded the institution in 1982. Said Sierra bequeathed an enduring legacy to the nation. Take a break, station. When you come back, we're going to be discussing some other stuff that happened in our island and even in the States. Take it away. This is the Kind of Connection with Pastor Cameron. And I'm coming to you live from the Garden Parish of Center. Stay tuned.
My God is
of May 26th. There's an article on page A5. And it's entitled Island Roots Poor Army Girl. It says Cadet of Jamaican parents among record 34 black women to graduate from West Point. And this was written by Janet Silvera. She's a scene and cleaner writer. And this is what she wrote. When young Kate Campbell decided that she wanted to pursue a career in the United States Armed Forces, she wasn't sure how to break the news to her Jamaican-born parents. Not that she would have their full support. Not that she wouldn't have their full support. But Campbell feared that they, being parents, would be somewhat concerned that their youngest child might be flirting with danger. My loving parents, who are from the parish of Portland, Jamaica, have always been supportive of my decision, she told the Sunday Gleaner in a telephone interview last week. This was, however, something entirely different. And maybe for the very first time, I wasn't exactly sure as to how they would react. Especially Mom, she added with a laughter. Well, break it, she did. And now, 4 years later, Campbell will be part of history as one of the record 34 black women who yesterday graduated from one of the most prestigious military academies in the world, West Point in New York. Vice President and United States Mike Pence delivered a commencement address to the expected 950 cadets who will be later commissioned as second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. Cadet Campbell has been one of our outstanding cadets, a very hard worker, explained Katie Fielder, public affairs specialist in the media relations division at West Point. We are very proud of her achievement along with her historic class of graduates. Campbell recalled it was early at age 15 that she felt certain that the military was her calling and that her career path would take her to West Point. However, however daunting the task might have seemed. And she has reason, very good reason, to be concerned. Why? Because as much as West Point is the most well-known of all commissioning programs in the United States and open to civilians and to current enlisted members of the military, it is the hardest to qualify for. Also, it wasn't lost on her that competition to get in was fierce, considering that West Point cadetship included a fully funded 4-year college education, also tuition, room, board, medical, and dental care are provided by the U.S. Army. But probably the most challenging part of the application process for Campbell was that it also involved a pre-candidate questionnaire and nomination from a member of the U.S. House of Representatives or a U.S. Senator. It was a rigorous application process, and I went about it entirely on my own, she noted. Of course, the concern was still there that my parents would oppose my desire of wanting to go to a military academy. Campbell would also apply for a West Point summer leadership program at West Point, but only revealed that information to her parents a few days before I learned that I had been admitted. Campbell's mother, Carleen, and father, Lloyd, remembered how shocked they were to learn of their daughter's ambitions. Shock might be an understatement, explained Carleen, who hails from Windsor Forest in Portland. We are proud of Kate. She's an inspiration, not just because of her unbelievable accomplishment at the military academy, West Point, but because she's such a humble and caring person, Carleen told the Sunday Gleaner. Campbell would go on to impress her then congressman from Maryland, now United States Senator Christopher Van Hollen, whose panel unreservedly supported her nomination for a place at West Point. Campbell said that the last 4 years at West Point has been nothing short of remarkable, calling our batchmates my family away from home. I wouldn't change this experience for anything in the world. I feel honored to be part of history and to share this moment with my fellow cadets, she beamed. To every young girl out there, even over here, there in Jamaica, never lose sight of your dream and do stay the course. There is no better feeling than to know that you have done all you can to achieve your goals. Can't blend it further. She will be graduating with Bachelor of Science in English and will be fulfilling her commitment to the U.S. Army as an officer. So we hail Campbell for graduating from West Point. She has set a record among the 34 black women that graduated at West Point in 2019. We need to encourage people that the sky is the limit. And we can encourage them that God has a plan for every man. And as he said to Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah 29, verse 10 and 11, "For I know the plan I have for you, plan of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And truly, we have seen here where Kate Campbell graduated from West Point, this prestigious Army school in the United States. First set of black graduates to ever done that. And truly we are celebrating her. I know Portland must be proud. Jamaica is proud. The world is proud of you, kid. And I can encourage any young people, anyone who is listening to me, aim for the sky. Because when you fall, you will still fall among the stars. If God be for us, who can be against us? This is the kind of connection. Pastor Cameron is looking at the final piece of news about the shooting that came out of Maypen Sunday morning. We woke up to a terrible news on Sunday morning, according to the Gleaner. It says two policemen were shot and injured during confrontation with armed robbers along Main Street in Maypen, Clarendon this morning. The sergeant and constable who were attached to the Maypen police station are now receiving treatment in hospital. The constable reported received gunshot injuries to the face and shoulder, while the sergeant was shot in the abdomen and buttocks. Reports are that about 9:20 a.m., the lawmen challenged armed men with high-powered weapons traveling in two cars in the vicinity of Kinep Tree in the Clarendon capital. The gunmen opened fire at the policemen who were hit. The service vehicle was damaged. One of the getaway vehicles, a white Toyota Probox, later crashed along Howard Avenue. It is not clear if any of the gunmen were captured. Unconfirmed reports are that a woman of Chinese descent was abducted by the gunmen who was said to be on a robbery spree in the parish capital. So we see we are gunmen, and there's, you know, a video circulating on social media where we see those men armed with high-powered rifles, and they shot and injured two police, and all of the gunmen they escaped. We were told that the gunmen they have magazine that carry 100 rounds of ammunition. 100. So those men were heavily armed. It is said that they outgunned the police. So two policemen has been shot, and the gunmen have escaped. But I think that is happening in Clarendon. But we're not giving up. We believe in the true and living God. And we know that the angel of the Lord encamped around them that fear him. And today we are still praising the true and living God. God bless you. This is Pastor Cameron, signing out from the Clarendon Connection. I hope you will join me next week when I'll be broadcasting in from Cayman Island. I'll be heading off to Cayman tomorrow. I've been in Cayman for a week. So the Clarendon Connection comes to you live next week, Wednesday, from the Cayman Island. And we're excited about that as we continue to exalt the name of our Maker. And as our national anthem says, Eternal Father, bless our land. Guide us with thy mighty hand.